1530. That this is so, the word has shown to all, as when the Lord was made manifest to Peter, James, and John. For his face then shone as the sun, and his garments became as the light. Matthew 17, verse 2. He so appeared to them simply because their interior sight was opened. The same is confirmed also in the prophets, as in Isaiah, where the Lord's kingdom in the heavens is treated of. The light of the moon shall be as the light of the sun, and the light of the sun shall be sevenfold, as the light of 7 days. 30, verse 26. And in John, where also the Lord's kingdom, which is called the New Jerusalem, is spoken of. The city hath no need of the sun, neither of the moon, to shine in it. For the glory of God doth lighten it, and the Lamb is the lamp thereof. Revelation 21, verse 23. And again, there shall be no night there, and they have no need of a lamp, neither light of the sun, for the Lord God giveth them light. 22, verse 5. Besides that, when the Lord appeared to Moses, Aaron, Nadab, Abihu, and the 70 elders, they saw the God of Israel, under whose feet was, as it were, a work of sapphire stone, and, as it were, the substance of heaven in clearness. Exodus 24, verse 10. As the Lord celestial and spiritual appear before the external sight of the angels as a sun and a moon, therefore the sun in the word signifies what is celestial, and the moon what is spiritual. 1531. That I might be confirmed in the truth that the Lord appears to the celestial angels as a sun and to the spiritual angels as a moon, my interior sight was of the Lord's divine mercy, so far opened that I plainly saw the moon shining, which was encompassed by a number of smaller moons, the light of which was almost solar, according to the words in Isaiah. The light of the moon shall be as the light of the sun. 30, verse 26. But it was not granted me to see the sun. The moon appeared in front, to the right. 1532. Wonderful things appear in heaven from the Lord's light, things so beyond number that they could never be told. They are continual representatives of the Lord and his kingdom, such as are mentioned in the prophets and by John in the Apocalypse, besides other significatives. With the bodily eyes, no man can possibly see them. But the moment the interior sight, or that of the Spirit, is opened by the Lord, such things become visible. The visions of the prophets were nothing else than openings of their interior sight, as when John saw the golden lampstands, Revelation 1, verses 12 and 13, and the holy city as pure gold, with its luminary like to a stone most precious, Revelation 21, verses 2, 10, and 11. Besides many things mentioned in the prophets, from which it may be known not only that the angels live in the brightest light, but also that there are countless things there which surpass belief. 1533. Before my sight was opened, the idea I cherished concerning the countless things that appear in the other life differed but little from that of others. That is to say, that in the other life there could be no light, and such things as exist from light, together with the things of sense, a notion derived from the fantasy entertained by the learned respecting the immateriality which they predicate so strongly of spirits and of all things pertaining to their life, from which no other conception could be had than that, because it was immaterial, it was either so obscure that no idea of it could be grasped, or that it was nothing, for the immateriality involves such things. And yet the fact is just the reverse. For unless spirits were organized, and unless angels were organized substances, they could neither speak, nor see, nor think. 1534. That by the aid of the light from a celestial and spiritual origin from the Lord, there are in the other life presented before the sight of spirits and angels most wonderful objects, such as paradises, cities, palaces, dwellings, the most beautiful atmospheres, and others besides. See the continuation concerning light at the end of this chapter. Chapter 13, Verse 1. And Abram went up out of Egypt, he and his wife, and all that he had, and Lot went with him toward the south. 2. And Abram was very rich in cattle, in silver, and in gold. 3. And he went according to his journeys from the south and even to Bethel, unto the place where his tent was at first, between Bethel and Ai. 4. Unto the place of the altar which he had made there in the beginning. And there Abram called on the name of Yahweh. 5. And Lot also, who went with Abram, had flock and herd and tents. 6. And the land was not able to bear them, that they might dwell together, for their substance was great, so that they could not dwell together. 7. And there was strife between the herdmen of Abram's cattle and the herdmen of Lot's cattle. And the Canaanite and the Perizzite were then dwelling in the land. 8. And Abram said unto Lot, Let there be no strife, I pray, between me and thee, and between my herdmen and thy herdmen, for we are men brethren. 9. Is not the whole land before thee? Separate, I pray, from me. If to the left hand, then I will go to the right, or if to the right hand, then I will go to the left. 10. And Lot lifted up his eyes, and saw all the plain of Jordan, that it was all well watered, before Yahweh destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, like the garden of Yahweh, like the land of Egypt in coming to Zoar. 11. And Lot chose him all the plain of Jordan, and Lot journeyed from the east, and they were separated, a man from his brother. 12. Abram dwelt in the land of Canaan, and Lot dwelt in the cities of the plain, and pitched his tent as far as Sodom. 13. And the men of Sodom were wicked, and sinners against Yahweh exceedingly. 14. And Yahweh said unto Abram, after that Lot was separated from him, Lift up now thine eyes, and look from the place where thou art, northward and southward, and eastward and westward. 15. For all the land which thou seest, to thee will I give it, and to thy seed forever. 16. And I will make thy seed as the dust of the earth, so that if any one can number the dust of the earth, then shall thy seed also be numbered. 17. Arise, walk through the land, in the length of it and in the breadth of it, for unto thee will I give it. 18. And Abram pitched his tent, and came, and dwelt in the oak groves of Mamre, which are in Hebron, and built there an altar unto Yahweh. The Contents. 1535. This chapter treats of the external man in the Lord, which was to be conjoined with his internal man. The external man is the human essence, The internal is the divine essence. The former is here represented by Lot, but the latter by Abram. 1536. There is here described the state of the external man such as it was in childhood, when first imbued with scientifics and cognitions, that it thence advanced more and more to conjunction with the internal man. Verses 1 to 4. 1537. But that there were still many things in his external man that impeded the conjunction, verses 5 to 7, from which, however, he desired to be separated, verses 8 and 9. 1538. That the external man appeared to the Lord such as it is in its beauty when conjoined with the internal, and also such as it is when not conjoined, verses 10 to 13. 1539. A promise that when the external man was conjoined with the internal, that is, when the Lord's human essence was conjoined with his divine essence, all power should be given to him. Verses 14 to 17. Concerning the Lord's interior perception. Verse 18. The internal sense. 1540. The true historical accounts of the word began, as before said, with the foregoing chapter, the 12th. Up to that point, or rather to Eber, they were made up historical accounts. In the internal sense, the historical accounts here continued respecting Abram are significative of the Lord, and in fact of his first life, such as it was before his external man had been conjoined with the internal so as to make one thing. That is, before his external man had been in like manner made celestial and divine. The historical accounts are what represent the Lord. The words themselves are significative of the things that are represented. But being historical, the mind of the reader cannot but be held in them, especially at this day, when most persons, and indeed nearly all, do not believe that there is an internal sense, and still less that it exists in every word. And it may be that in spite of the fact that the internal sense has been so plainly shown thus far, they will not even now acknowledge its existence. And this for the reason that the internal sense appears to recede so far from the sense of the letter as to be scarcely recognized in it. And yet that these historical accounts cannot be the word, they might know from the mere fact that when separated from the internal sense, there is no more of the divine in them than in any other history, whereas the internal sense makes the word to be divine. That the internal sense is the word itself is evident from many things that have been revealed, as Out of Egypt have I called my son, Matthew 2, verse 15, besides many others. The Lord himself also, after his resurrection, taught the disciples what had been written concerning him in Moses and the prophets, Luke 24, verse 27. And thus that there is nothing written in the word that does not regard him, his kingdom, and the church. These are the spiritual and celestial things of the word. But the things contained in the literal sense are for the most part worldly, corporeal, and earthly, which cannot possibly make the word of the Lord. At this day men are of such a character that they perceive nothing but such things, and what spiritual and celestial things are they scarcely know. It was otherwise with the men of the most ancient and of the ancient church, who, had they lived at this day and had read the word, would not have attended at all to the sense of the letter, which they would look upon as nothing, but to the internal sense. They wonder greatly that anyone perceives the word in any other way. All the books of the ancients were therefore so written as to have their interior sense a different meaning from that in the letter. 1541, verse 1. And Abram went up out of Egypt, he and his wife, and all that he had. And Lot went with him toward the south. In the internal sense, the things here stated and those which follow in this chapter also represent the Lord, there being a continuation of his life from childhood. Abram went up out of Egypt signifies from scientifics which left the Lord. In the internal sense, Abram is the Lord, here the Lord when still a child. Egypt, here as before, is science. He and his wife signifies the celestial truths that were then with the Lord. And all that he had signifies all things that pertained to the celestial things. And Lot with him signifies what is sensuous. Toward the south signifies into celestial light. 1542. That in the internal sense, these things and those that follow in this chapter also represent the Lord, and that it is a continuation of his life from childhood, may be seen from what was said and shown in the preceding chapter, and also from what follows. But especially from the consideration that this is the word of the Lord, and that it has come down from him through heaven, and therefore that not even the smallest part of a word has been written that does not involve celestial arcana. That which comes from such an origin cannot possibly be of any other nature. It has been shown already that in the internal sense the Lord's instruction when a child is treated of. There are two things with man which prevent his becoming celestial, one of which belongs to his intellectual part and the other to his will part. That which belongs to the intellectual part consists of the empty scientifics he learns in childhood and youth, and that which belongs to the will part consists of pleasures from the cupidities which he favors. These are the hindrances that prevent his being able to attain to celestial things. These are first to be dispersed, and when they have been dispersed, he can then for the first time be admitted into the light of celestial things, and at last into celestial light. As the Lord was born as other men are, and was to be informed as others are, it was necessary for him to learn scientifics, which was represented and signified by Abram's sojourn in Egypt. And that the empty scientifics at last left him was represented by Pharaoh's commanding his men respecting him, and by their sending him away, and his wife, and all that he had. See the foregoing chapter, verse 20. But that the pleasures which pertain to the things of the will, and which constitute the sensuous man, but the outermost of it, also left him, is represented in this chapter by Lot, in that he separated himself from Abram, for Lot represents such a man. 1543. And Abram went up out of Egypt. That this signifies from scientifics which left the Lord is evident from the signification of Abram as representing the Lord, and also from the signification of Egypt as denoting science, and also from the signification of going up, for this expression is used of emerging from the lower things, which are scientifics, toward the higher, which are the celestial things. And therefore in the word, to go up from Egypt into the land of Canaan, an expression which often occurs, involves similar things. 1544. It has already been shown that here, in the internal sense, Abram is the Lord while still a child, and that Egypt denotes science. 1545. He and his wife. That this signifies the celestial truths then in the Lord may be seen from the signification of he, that is, of Abram, as being the Lord, and consequently the celestial that was in him. A man is a man from the things that are in him, the Lord from the celestial things, for he alone was celestial, so as to be the celestial itself, on which account celestial things are signified by Abram, and still more by Abraham. This may be further seen from the signification of a wife, as being truth adjoined to the celestial, as before shown, number 1468. That the truths are celestial truths, or truths which are from celestial things, is evident from the fact that he is named first, and his wife afterwards. For celestial truth is one thing, and truth celestial is another. Celestial truth is that which derives its origin from the celestial. Truth celestial is that which is from the truth which is implanted in the celestial by means of cognitions. 1546. And all that he had. That this signifies all things that pertain to celestial things is evident from what has now been said. 1547. And Lot with him. That this signifies what is sensuous has already been briefly stated, number 1428. But as Lot is here specifically treated of, it must be known what it is in the Lord that he represents. Pharaoh represented the scientifics that at last let the Lord go. But Lot represents sensuous things, by which is meant the external man and its pleasures that pertain to sensuous things, thus those things which are outermost, and which are wont to captivate man in his childhood, and draw him away from goods. For so far as a man indulges the pleasures that originate from cupidities, he is drawn away from the celestial things that are of love and charity, because in those pleasures there is love from self and from the world, with which celestial love cannot agree. There are, however, pleasures that agree perfectly with celestial things, and that likewise appear similar in external form, concerning which see above number 945, 994, 995, 997. But the pleasures that originate from cupidities are to be restrained and wiped out, because they block the way to celestial things. It is these pleasures, and not the others, that are treated of in this chapter by Lot, in that he separated himself from Abram. And here it is said that such pleasures were present, which are signified by Lot with him. But in general by Lot is signified the external man, as will be evident from what follows. 1548. Toward the South. That this signifies into celestial light is evident from the signification of the south as being a state of light as to the interiors, spoken of before, number 1458. There are two states from which comes celestial light. The first is that into which man is introduced from infancy, for it is known that infants are in innocence and in the goods of love, which are the celestial things into which they are at first introduced by the Lord, and which are stored up in the child for use in later life, and for his use when he comes into the other life. These are what are called the first remains, spoken of in several places before. The other state is that man is introduced into spiritual and celestial things by means of cognitions, which must be implanted in the celestial things given from infancy. With the Lord, these were implanted in his first celestial things, from which he had the light which is here called the South. 1549, verse 2. And Abram was very rich in cattle, in silver and in gold. Abram was very rich in cattle, signifies the goods with which the Lord was then enriched. In silver signifies the truths, and in gold signifies the goods from truths. 1550. Abram was very rich in cattle. That this signifies goods is evident from the signification of cattle and of flock as denoting good, concerning which above, number 343, 415. 1551. In silver. That this signifies truths is evident from the signification of silver as denoting truth. The most ancient people compared the goods and truths in man to metals, the inmost or the celestial goods, which are of love to the Lord, to gold, the truths which are from these to silver, but the lower or natural goods to brass, and the lower truths to iron. Nor did they simply compare them, but they likewise called them so. Hence, periods of time were also likened to the same metals, and were called the golden, the silver, the brass, and the iron ages, for the ages followed one another in this order. The golden age was the time of the most ancient church, which was a celestial man. The silver age was the time of the ancient church, which was a spiritual man. The brass age was the time of the succeeding church, and to this succeeded the Iron Age. Similar things are also signified by the statue seen by Nebuchadnezzar in a dream, whose head was of good gold, the breast and arms of silver, the belly and thighs of brass, the legs of iron. Daniel 2, verses 32 and 33. That this was to be the series, or that the periods of the church succeeded one another in this order, is evident from the same prophet and in the same chapter. That in the internal sense of the word, silver, wherever named, signifies truth, and in the opposite sense, falsity, is evident from the following passages. In Isaiah, for brass I will bring gold, and for iron I will bring silver, and for wood brass, and for stones iron. I will also make thine officers peace, and thine exactors righteousness. 60, verse 17. Here it is evident what each metal means. The Lord's coming and his celestial kingdom and church are there treated of. Gold for brass is celestial good instead of natural good. Silver for iron is spiritual truth instead of natural truth. Brass for wood is natural good instead of corporeal good. Iron for stones is natural truth instead of sensuous truth. In the same. Ho, everyone that thirsteth, go ye to the waters. And he that hath no silver, go ye buy and eat. 55, verse 1. He that hath no silver is he who is in ignorance of truth, and yet in the good of charity, like many within the church and the nations outside the church. In the same. The isles shall wait for me, and the ships of Tarshish in the beginning, to bring thy sons from far, their silver and their gold with them, under the name of Yahuwah thy God, and to the Holy One of Israel. 50, verse 9. Here a new church, or that of the Gentiles, is treated of specifically, and the Lord's kingdom universally. The ships of Tarshish denote cognitions, silver, truths, and gold, goods. For these are the things which they shall bring to the name of Yahuwah. In Ezekiel, thou didst take the vessels of thine adorning, of my gold and of my silver, which I had given thee, and madest for thee images of a male. 16, verse 17. Here gold denotes the cognitions of celestial things, silver those of spiritual things. In the same, thou wast adorned with gold and silver, and thy raiment was fine linen and silk, and broidered work. 16, verse 13. This is said of Jerusalem, by which the Lord's church is signified, and the adornment of which is thus described. Again, behold, thou art wise. There is no secret that they have hidden from thee. In thy wisdom and in thine intelligence thou hast gotten thee riches, and hast gotten gold and silver into thy treasures. 28, verses 3 and 4. This is said of Tyre, and it is plain that here gold is the wealth of wisdom, and silver the wealth of intelligence. In Joel, ye have taken my silver and my gold, and have carried into your temples my goodly, desirable things. 3, verse 5. This is said concerning Tyre, Zidon, and Philistia, by which are signified cognitions, which are the gold and the silver that they have carried into their temples. In Haggai, the choice of all nations shall come, and I will fill this house with glory. The silver is mine, and the gold is mine. The glory of his latter house shall be greater than that of the former. 2, verses 7 to 9. Here the Lord's church is treated of, concerning which gold and silver are predicated. In Malachi, he shall sit as a smelter and purifier of silver, and shall purify the sons of Levi. 3, verse 3. Here the Lord's coming is treated of. In David, the discourses of Yahuwah are pure discourses, silver smelted in a crucible of earth, smelted seven times. Psalm 12, verse 6. The silver purified seven times denotes divine truth. In respect to the command given to the sons of Israel when they were to go out of Egypt, every woman shall borrow of her neighbor and of her that is a guest in her house, vessels of silver and vessels of gold and garments. And ye shall put them upon your sons and upon your daughters, and shall spoil the Egyptians. Exodus 3, verse 22. 11, verses 2 and 3, 12, verses 35 and 36. Everyone can see that the sons of Israel would by no means have been told thus to steal and to spoil the Egyptians, unless some arcana were thus to be represented. But what the arcana are may be seen from the signification of silver, of gold, and of garments, and of Egypt. And it may also be seen that much the same was there represented as is here represented by Abram, who was rich in silver and gold from Egypt. As silver signifies truth, so in the opposite sense it signifies falsity. For they who are in falsity think that falsity is truth, as is also evident in the prophets. In Moses, thou shalt not covet the silver and the gold of the nations, nor take it unto thee, lest thou be snared therein. For it is an abomination to Yahuwah thy God. Detesting, thou shalt detest it. Deuteronomy 7, verses 25 and 26. The gold of the nations denotes evils, and their silver, falsities. Again, ye shall not make with me gods of silver, And gods of gold shall ye not make unto you. Exodus 20, verse 23. By this, in the internal sense, nothing else is signified than falsities and cupidities. Gods of silver are falsities, and gods of gold are cupidities. In Isaiah, in that day shall they cast away every man his idols of silver and his idols of gold, which your own hands have made unto you for a sin. 31, verse 7. Idols of silver and idols of gold denote similar things as before. Your own hands have made them means that they are from their proprium. In Jeremiah, they are become brutish and foolish. A teaching of vanities is that stock. Silver beaten out is brought from Tarshish, and gold from Uphaz. The work of the artificer and of the hands of the founder. Blue and crimson are their clothing. It is all the work of the wise. 10, verses 8 and 9. Similar things are denoted here, as is very evident. 1552. And in gold. That this signifies goods from truths is evident from the signification of gold as being celestial good, or the good of wisdom and of love, as is evident from the things just shown and also from those shown before, number 113. That the goods here are from truths follows from what was said in the foregoing chapter, that the Lord conjoined intellectual truths with celestial things. 1553, verse 3. And he went according to his journeys, from the south and even to Bethel, under the place where his tent was at the first, between Bethel and Ai. He went according to his journeys, signifies according to order. From the south and even to Bethel signifies from the light of intelligence into the light of wisdom. Unto the place where his tent was before signifies to the holy things which there were before he was imbued with cognitions. Between Bethel and Ai signifies here as before the celestial things of cognitions and worldly things. 1554. He went according to his journeys. That this signifies according to order is evident from the signification of journeys as being further progressions, concerning which see number 1457. And as these were made according to order, journeys here signify nothing else. From his earliest infancy, the Lord advanced according to all divine order to celestial things and into celestial things. And in the internal sense, the nature of this order is described by what is said concerning Abram. According to such order also are all led who are being created anew by the Lord. But this order is various with men, according to the nature and genius of each one. But the order by which a man is led while being regenerated is known to no man, and not even to the angels except obscurely, but to the Lord alone. 1555. From the south and even to Bethel. That this signifies from the light of intelligence into the light of wisdom is evident from the signification of the south as being the light of intelligence, or what is the same, a state of light as to the interiors, spoken of before, number 1458, and from the signification of Bethel as denoting celestial light arising from cognitions, concerning which before, number 1453. That is called the light of intelligence, which is procured by means of the cognitions of the truths and goods of faith. But the light of wisdom is that of the life which is thence acquired. The light of intelligence regards the intellectual part or the understanding, but the light of wisdom regards the will part or the life. Few, if any, know how man is led to true wisdom. Intelligence is not wisdom, but leads to wisdom. For to understand what is true and good is not to be true and good, but to be wise is to be so. Wisdom is predicated only of the life, that the man is such. A man is introduced to wisdom or to life by means of learning and knowing, that is, by means of sciences and cognitions. In every man there are two parts, the will and the understanding. The will is the primary part, the understanding is the secondary one. Man's life after death is according to his will part, not according to his intellectual part. The will is being formed in man by the Lord from infancy to childhood, which is effected by means of the innocence that is insinuated, and by means of charity toward parents, nurses, and little children of a like age, and by means of many other things that man knows nothing of, and which are celestial. Unless these celestial things were first insinuated into a man while an infant and a child, he could by no means become a man. Thus is formed the first plane. But as a man is not a man unless he is endowed also with understanding, will alone does not make the man, but understanding together with will. And understanding cannot be acquired except by means of sciences and cognitions. Therefore he must, from his childhood, be gradually imbued with these. Thus is formed the second plane. When the intellectual part has been instructed in sciences and cognitions, especially in the cognitions of truth and good, then first can the man be regenerated. And when he is being regenerated, truths and goods are implanted by the Lord by means of cognitions in the celestial things with which he had been endowed by the Lord from infancy, so that his intellectual things make one with his celestial things. And when the Lord has thus conjoined these, the man is endowed with charity, from which he begins to act, this charity being of conscience. In this way he for the first time receives new life, and this by degrees. The light of this life is called wisdom, which then takes the first place and is set over the intelligence. Thus is formed the third plane. When a man has become such during his bodily life, he is then continually perfected in the other life. These considerations show what is the light of intelligence and what the light of wisdom. 1556. Under the place where his tent was before. That this signifies to the holy things which there were before he was imbued with cognitions is evident from the signification of a tent, which is the holy things of faith. Concerning which, number 414, 1452, and from what has just been said. It thus signifies to the celestial things which the Lord had before he was imbued with sciences and cognitions, as is evident from what was said in the preceding chapter. And Abram removed from thence unto the mountain on the east of Bethel, and pitched his tent. Verse 8. Which was before he departed into Egypt, that is, before the Lord was imbued with sciences and cognitions. 1557. Between Bethel and Ai. That this signifies the celestial things of cognitions and worldly things is evident from the signification of Bethel, which is the light of wisdom by means of cognitions. See number 1453. And from the signification of Ai, which is the light from worldly things, also spoken of in number 1453. From what is there said, it may be seen what the Lord's state then was, namely, that it was childlike. And the state of a child is such that worldly things are present. For worldly things cannot be dispersed until truth and good are implanted in celestial things by means of cognitions. For a man cannot distinguish between celestial and worldly things until he knows what the celestial is and what the worldly. Cognitions make a general and obscure idea distinct, and the more distinct the idea is made by means of cognitions, the more can the worldly things be separated. But still, that childlike state is holy because it is innocent. Ignorance by no means precludes holiness when there is innocence in it, for holiness dwells in ignorance that is innocent. With all men except with the Lord, holiness can dwell solely in ignorance, and if not in ignorance, they have no holiness. With the angels themselves, who are in the highest light of intelligence and wisdom, holiness dwells in ignorance. For they know and acknowledge that of themselves they know nothing, but that whatever they know is from the Lord. They also know and acknowledge that all their science, intelligence, and wisdom is as nothing in comparison with the infinite science, intelligence, and wisdom of the Lord. Thus, that it is ignorance. He who does not acknowledge that there are infinite things with which he is not acquainted, beyond those with which he is acquainted, cannot be in the holiness of ignorance in which the angels are. The holiness of ignorance does not consist in being more ignorant than others, but in the acknowledgement that of himself a man knows nothing, and that the things he does not know are infinite in comparison with those he does know. And especially does it consist in his regarding the things of the memory and of the understanding as being of but little moment in comparison with celestial things. That is, the things of the understanding in comparison with the things of the life. As regards the Lord, as he was conjoining things human with things divine, he advanced according to order. And he now for the first time arrived at the celestial state such as he had when a child, in which state worldly things also were present. By advancing from this into a state still more celestial, he at length came into the celestial state of infancy, and in this he fully conjoined the human essence with the divine essence. 1558, verse 4. Unto the place of the altar which he had made there in the beginning. And there Abram called on the name of Yahuwah. Unto the place of the altar signifies the holy things of worship, which he had made in the beginning, signifies which he had when a child. And there Abram called on the name of Yahuwah, signifies the internal worship in that state. 1559. Unto the place of the altar. That this signifies the holy things of worship is evident from the signification of an altar as being the principal representative of worship, concerning which see number 921. 1560. Which he had made in the beginning. That this signifies which he had when a child is evident from what was said in the preceding chapter at verse 8. It is here said, in the beginning, and in the preceding verse, at the first, because that was before the Lord had been imbued with scientifics and cognitions. All the state before a man is instructed is initiation, initium, and when he begins to be instructed, it is the beginning, principium. 1561. And there Abram called on the name of Yahuwah. That this signifies the internal worship in that state is evident from the signification of calling on the name of Yahuwah, explained above, number 440, 1455. Here too, because of the similarity of the states, mention is made of an altar. And it is said that he called on the name of Yahuwah, as was the case in the preceding chapter, verse 8. But there is this difference, that as compared with the former, the state here described is a lucid one. When cognitions are implanted in the state described above, they make it lucid. And when truth and good are conjoined with the former celestial state by means of cognitions, its activity is then described as in the words now before us. For worship itself is nothing but a certain activity coming forth from the celestial which is within. The celestial itself cannot possibly exist without activity. Worship is its first activity, for it puts itself forth in this way, because it perceives joy in it. All the good of love and of charity is essential activity itself. 1562, verse 5. And Lot also, who went with Abram, had flock and herd and tents. And Lot also, who went with Abram, signifies the external man that was in the Lord, had flock and herd and tents, signifies those things in which the external man abounds. Flock and herd are the external man's possessions. Tents are his worship. These things were separating themselves from the internal man. 1563. And Lot also, who went with Abram. That this signifies the external man that was in the Lord is evident from the representation of Lot as being the sensuous man, or what is the same, the external man. That there is an internal and an external in every man, or what is the same, that man is internal and external, is known to everyone within the church, concerning which, see what has been said before, number 978, 994, 995, 1015. The external man receives its life principally from the internal man, that is, from the spirit or soul. Thence comes its very life in general. But this life cannot be received in its particulars or distinctly by the external man unless its organic vessels are opened, which must be the recipients of the particulars and the singulars of the internal man. These organic vessels, which are to be the recipients, are not opened except by means of the senses, especially those of hearing and sight. And as they are opened, the internal man can flow in with its particulars and singulars. They are opened with the senses as the media, by means of scientifics and cognitions, and also by means of pleasures and delights. Those belonging to the understanding, by means of scientifics, and those belonging to the will, by means of pleasures and delights. From these things it may be seen that it must necessarily happen that such scientifics and cognitions as cannot agree with spiritual truths will insinuate themselves into the external man, and that such pleasures and delights will insinuate themselves as cannot agree with celestial goods, as is the case with all those things which regard corporeal, worldly, and earthly things as the ends, which, when regarded as ends, draw the external man outwards and downwards, and so remove it from the internal man. Wherefore, unless such things are first dispersed, the internal man cannot possibly agree with the external, so that before the internal man can agree with the external, such things must first be removed. That with the Lord these things were removed or separated, is represented and signified by the separation of Lot from Abram. 1564. Had flock and herd and tents. That this signifies the things with which the external man abounds is evident from the signification of flock, herd, and tents, explained just below. They here signify the possessions of the external man, for by Lot, as before said, is represented the Lord's external man. There are two classes of possessions in the external man, namely, such as can agree with the internal and such as cannot agree. By flock, herd, and tents are here signified those things which cannot agree, as is evident from what follows. And there was strife between the herdmen of Abram's cattle and the herdmen of Lot's cattle. Verse 7, 1565. That flock and herd signify the possessions of the external man is evident from the signification of flock and herd as being goods. See number 343 and 415. But here they signify things that are to be separated, and thus things that are not good, because they are attributed to Lot, who was being separated from Abram. That flock and herd signify also things not good is evident from the following passages of the word. In Zephaniah, I will destroy thee, that there shall be no inhabitant, and the sea coast shall be habitations dug out for shepherds, and folds for a flock. 2:5-6. In Jeremiah, I will disperse in thee the shepherd and the flock, and I will disperse in thee the husbandman and his yoke. 51:23. In the same, go ye up to Arabia, and lay waste the sons of the east, their tents and their flocks shall they take. 49:28-29. 1566. That tents denote the worship of that which was separating itself from the internal is evident from the signification of tent as being the holy thing of worship, number 414, and also from the representation of Lot as being the external man, of which tents or worship are predicated. That in the opposite sense, tents signify worship not holy, is also evident from the following passages of the word. In Hosea, the nettle shall inherit them, thorns shall be in their tents. 9:6. In Habakkuk, I saw the tents of Cushan, the curtains of the land of Midian were greatly moved. Yahuwah was angry against the rivers. 3:7-8. In Jeremiah, shepherds with their flocks shall come unto the daughter of Zion. They shall pitch tents against her round about. They shall feed down every one his space. 6:3. In David, he smote all the firstborn in Egypt, the beginning of strength in the tents of Ham. Psalm 78:51. In the same, I had rather stand at the threshold in the house of my God than to dwell in the tents of wickedness. Psalm 84:10.